All right, we're in John chapter 11. We're going to hit the ground running here as we are very short on time. If you need a Bible here, we have the book of John and the book of Romans there. Just go ahead and pass it around. If you need a copy, keep it. If you don't, pass it on. We'll start here in John chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be, or might be, glorified thereby. I'm going to stop there just to mention quickly. As he says, this sickness is not unto death. Some might say, well, he died, but he didn't stay dead. So the sickness was not unto death. The sickness was not unto death. But the point of it, the reason for the sickness was that God might be glorified, and that the Son of God might be glorified. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Notice that it says here that he loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And then it says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Isn't it interesting how it says that he loved them, and therefore, he didn't go to them right away? Now, you'd think, and most people do think, that if someone's sick and you love them, you're going to hurry to get to them, to be there to visit them or to help them, or in his case, to heal him. But because he loved them, he waited. An interesting thought. Because he loved them, he waited. Why would you think maybe he would wait? He knew what was going to happen, but he also was waiting so that the plan might be carried out, that God might be glorified. You see, he could have left at that time, and he still wouldn't have made it. Still wouldn't. Lazarus still would have died. But he wanted him to stay in the grave. How long? 4 days. He wanted him in the grave for 4 days. There's a reason for that. We'll mention that here in a few moments. It says, then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. It's interesting that we read that right after we just did that. My family just did that hike in the woods in the dark. We did it in the daytime and at night, and there was some stumbling going on. You can't see the roots under your feet when you're walking. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. In other words, let's not like put our lives in jeopardy just because Lazarus is sleeping. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of sleep in rest. Taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Notice that he said, though before, that this sickness is not unto death. They probably heard that being said. But he said, now plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Notice, though, that he says that he was glad he was not there for their sakes, to the intent that they might believe. That they may believe. All of the little pieces here have a part. That he was not there so that they might believe. It says, then said Thomas, which was called Didymus, unto his disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. In other words, they thought that they were going to get to go to Judea and die because the Jews hate him. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. See, he heard about him being sick, waited 2 days, and then shows up and he's been 4 days dead. So it very well could be that when he got the news, there's either two options. When he got the news, Lazarus was already dead. Or he got the news and Lazarus died maybe a few hours later, and then he waited 2 days, and then the journey took roughly 2 days, and that's how that happened. So either way, though, when he gets there, he's dead for 4 days. It says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. In other words, Jesus and his disciples are here. The Jews hate him. They wanted to kill him. And a lot of them are there. It's not very far from Jerusalem. They're going to have a lot of people there. But they go anyways. And it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Of course, we have that hope, right? She even had that hope then. She had been listening to the word of God and listening to Jesus. And so she had that hope that, yes, he was going to rise again. The last day he would be raised and he would not see death anymore. And so, yes, at the resurrection he would rise again. She says, I know that. You've told me that. I understand that. That doesn't that may give me some comfort, but it doesn't really comfort me much right now because my brother's dead. I won't see him again until that last day. Or until I go to be with him. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So she believes, she recognizes that he is who he says he is, that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is the one that was to come. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master has come and called for thee. So she says, I believe you're the Christ. See you later. I'm out of here. And she goes to Mary. She's like, the Master's here. You need to go see him. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Again, same story, right? When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Say, there's a lot of reasons that Jesus wept here. It wasn't just what they said when they said, Behold how he loved him. Of course, Jesus wasn't weeping for Lazarus, because Jesus didn't have any concern for Lazarus. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He knew that that wasn't going to be an issue there. He was weeping because of, first of all, I would say he was weeping because of their pain. He understood their pain, that they were weeping for the loss of Lazarus. But then he was troubled at their disbelief, at their unbelief. He wept because he was grieved over the fact that they were in despair. They thought, oh, this is it. Lazarus is dead. Never going to see him again. He's gone. Nothing we can do now. If you'd have been here before he died, then it would have been okay. He wouldn't have died if you were here. You could have healed him. But now he's dead. Boo-hoo-hoo, right? They cry. And so he was grieved. He groaned within himself and was troubled. And because of this, because of their unbelief and their lack of understanding that he was able to raise him again, their lack of understanding, their lack of faith caused him to weep. Then said, talked about verse 36, but 37 it says, And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself came to the grave. Notice what's bothering him here. Again, they're like, He could have saved him, but now it's too late. He's grieved. Groaning within himself. It says, It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. They have no idea what's going on. They think he's, Take away the stone so I can go in and see the body. This is what they're thinking. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for it hath been 4 days. Because that's about the time. Well, I mean, bodies start to stink sometimes the same day. I've done funeral removal services for a funeral home before, and sometimes you get there, and I mean, the person just died, and you can smell them when you open the door. Other times, you get there, it's been a couple days, and you can really smell them. And other times it's been a week, and you can smell them, and it's pretty ripe. By the way, that smell doesn't smell like what you would think. It's, if you've ever been to a nursing home, you know what death smells like, because it's all through the building. That's what it smells like. Yep. It doesn't. It's not any different kind of smell. If you've ever been in a nursing home, you've smelled death. But usually they don't lay there for 4 days. If they die, they're gone the same day. In fact, it's by the time they find out they're dead, they call the funeral home. Funeral home calls the removal services or whoever they have on staff to do that. They're gone within an hour and a half. So it's pretty quick. But that smell still, I mean, it's there. Those of you that have ridden in my van to church have also smelled dead people. You don't know it, but you have. It's clean. But it's hard to get that smell out. But she says, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. Jesus saith unto her, said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I said, listen, if you would believe, you're going to see something you're not going to expect. See, they expect to have the stone rolled away and to smell that foul smell. And for Jesus to weep more because, oh, Lazarus is dead and I should have been here earlier is what they're expecting. This is what they're thinking. But he says, if you just believe. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Think about what that could have been. I mean, Lazarus is dead in the grave. And he cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, the voice of God that can pierce all the way through death to the soul of Lazarus, where body, soul, and spirit come back together like that. And all of a sudden Lazarus is like, huh? You've been dead for 4 days. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. He'd already gone before God. He's already gone on in the body. And now Jesus says, come here. And it's like all of a sudden, back in the body. And he gets up. It says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Now think about what just happened here. We don't have much time left, and we're probably going to just skip the rest of the chapter because Friday we're going to pick up in chapter 12. But Friday at the chapel service. Think about what just happened here. And the picture, by the way, the picture that we have here in this. We're gonna bring application where I'll let you guys read the rest of the chapter, verses 47 through 57, on your own. But basically, we have kind of some turmoil going on in the background about the what just happened, and so you'll catch some of those things and the concern that the Pharisees have and the priests and all that's going on there. We also have the prophecy from Caiaphas, but we have all of that that happens there. But think about what happened here with. In fact, I don't know. Maybe I'll just deal with chapter or verses 47 through 57 on Friday. But think about what happened here. One that was dead was given life. Notice out of the passage, we have death and no hope. How is it that the Son of God is glorified here? How is it that God is glorified in this situation?
Because he made Lazarus come back to life.
He made Lazarus come back to life. But how else? Lazarus coming back to life is a perfect picture of salvation. You see, mankind was alive once in the Garden of Eden. And God said, at the moment that you take and you eat from that tree, from the tree of the knowledge, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, that day you die. We died. spiritually speaking, we died. Our connection between us and God was broken, and there was death. What's that?
Pain was created.
Yep. We had that connection between us and God was broken, and along with that, our everlasting physical life was also broken, and we ended up dying, and, you know, from that point on, everybody has died. But that spiritual death, the broken relationship between us and God, can only be mended by God bringing life back into that relationship, bringing life back into man. And when he sent his son, he sent him to do just that. And you see, when we hear the gospel, when we hear and recognize that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, when we hear and recognize and know that because of that sin, because of that death will continue on forever. That death is not just a broken relationship between us and God, and our relationship with God's benevolence has been cut off, but that continues on after our physical life is over. And we're, instead of entering into the joy of our Lord, and instead of entering into the benevolent presence of God, we go into the wrath of God in hell. But if we believe, we would see the glory of God. Remember, as he said to Martha, or to Mary, he said, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" You see, obviously, Lazarus was dead. He had no... of course, you know, he had to answer Jesus saying, "Come forth," right? But it was the power of God that brought life. And he rose and came forth. You see, when the Word of God speaks to our heart, and we hear that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, that we're on our way to hell, and he says, "Daryl, come forth." He says, "Aaron, come forth." Now, how does he say that? Well, he says in his Word, "Repent and believe the gospel." That's not works on our part. We hear the Word. Right, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear the Word, and we respond. We say, "Okay." And then by His power, we get up. The death is over, and life has come. And then, notice he had grave clothes upon him. Salvation has been wrought. The dead is now living. But he still has grave clothes on him when he comes forth. Just... very similarly, when we're born again, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we come forth out of death into life, and we still have grave clothes on us. We still have the clothes, the rags of the grave that's upon us. We're still bound up in some of our old baggage. But God says, "Loose him and let him go." This is our growth in grace, as God takes off the bondage of the grave, and we begin to walk as one who's alive instead of as one who's dead. So, we're over on time. We'll do our application. We talk about this, and the question is, first of all, have you been made alive? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior and been saved from death unto life? The answer to that is no. I encourage you, get that taken care of today. The answer to that is yes. Look at yourself in the spiritual mirror of the Word of God. Are you still wearing the grave clothes? See, God saved you. He brought you out of death into life. It's time to take off the rags of death and walk in newness of life. Be loosed. This isn't a matter of, "Oh, I can do this." No, it's a matter of, Jesus made me alive, and now he's made me able to walk alive. You're going to find that Lazarus later is at supper with them and all of that. He's no longer dealing with that death and the grave clothes and all of that. And just the same, those of us who have trusted Christ, that are born again, we don't have to walk with the grave clothes on. We don't have to walk in bondage to sin anymore. Not saying that you become perfect, but you now have victory. And you can walk in that victory. So I want to encourage you to do that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your Son, who's able to conquer death and make alive that which was dead. And Lord, we recognize that that's only by the merit and fact that he is the Son of God, that he is God himself. And Lord, we thank you that he laid down his life in our place, that he might, and he took it up again so that he might take up our lives again, so that we might be born again, we might be alive unto you and dead unto sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each of the men here. Lord, help them, Father, to follow after you in righteousness, Lord. Lord, I pray for anyone that's not saved today, Lord, that they come to you, Lord, and believe. They turn to you and believe. And Lord, I pray for those that are saved. Father, help us, Lord, to walk without those grave clothes upon us. Lord, we look forward to all that you're going to do. Pray your blessing upon these men. Keep them safe for the remainder of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.